Welcome to University Drive, your pathway to the transformational work of University of the Bahamas. Our goal is to build a better Bahamas by shaping tomorrow's leaders today, finding solutions to challenges, and forging new opportunities for growth. University Drive, where faculty, staff, students, and alumni travel the road of progress together with you.
University of the Bahamas boasts of having some of the most esteemed alumni in our country in public and private sector. Many of our very successful individuals attribute their success to the foundation they would have received at the University of the Bahamas. We pride ourselves on these alumni, and it does not go unnoticed their contributions to society. Consequently, it is our duty and responsibility as a university to honor and recognize these people. And each year, we host the Office of Alumni Affairs, in collaboration with the Alumni Association, hosts an annual Hall of Fame and Outstanding Award, Alumni Award Ceremony. Today, we're here to talk about that. I'm your host, Nikki Bo, and welcome to University Drive. My guest today is Mr. Alvaro Thompson, Director of Alumni Affairs, and Ms. Naisha Tillis, a member of the Alumni Awards Committee, as well as an esteemed alum of the institution. Alvaro and Naisha, thank you so much for joining me on University Drive.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me as well.
So we're going to get right into this. The Alumni Awards are coming up, and we know that it's always an exciting event. Why is it important for us to always hold fast to honoring and recognizing our alumni?
I'll go first. Very, very good question. And thank you once again for having us, and good morning, Bahamas. It's so important for us to recognize our alumni, because our alumni, UB's alum, have done such amazing things, both locally and internationally. We have alumni all over the world, and these are alumni Bahamians that are scattered all over the world and just doing so many amazing and great things. So it's very important for us to recognize their accomplishments, as well as recognizing their achievements, both locally and internationally.
Absolutely. We know that we have alum throughout the diaspora. And when I say that, you mentioned locally and internationally. How are our alum that are abroad contributing to the university? Are there avenues for them to still be active participants and active alum?
Yes, there are, and they are contributing in so many ways. Sometimes we don't hear about it, but our alums, they are contributing in such a tremendous way. They are sitting on a lot of boards, a lot of committees. The University of the Bahamas recently established our U.S. and Canadian foundations, and we have prominent alumni that are based in both Canada and North America, New York, Atlanta, and they are sitting on our U.S. and Canadian foundation boards. They also help in a lot of steering committees at the university, at the administrative level, at the board level, and even with the Alumni Association. And so they are contributing not only financially, and I just want to stress that, but with their time as well, which is equally as important.
Why, thank you. So when we talk about our outstanding alumni, our Hall of Famers, we've been doing this for quite some time. This is not the new. Mr. Thompson, can you tell us the history of the Hall of Fame, the Alumni Awards, and the growth and the progress of this process?
Yes, thank you. So here at UB, we are rich, we are big with establishing rich traditions. And so the Alumni Affairs Office, in partnership with the Alumni Association, we are so happy to be able to continue this rich tradition. You know, this has not only come about recently, this has been about for over 20 years. And the forebearer to the Alumni Association, the CUB Alumni Society, back in the late 90s, they established the Hall of Fame Alumni Awards. And back then, they used to induct one Hall of Famee per year. And the first one being Bishop Neil Ellis, Neil C. Ellis, who just recently retired. He was our first Hall of Fame inductee. And after him, and I think that was in 2001, sorry, after him was Larry Gibson, Laura Pratt Charlton, Tanya McCartney, Vernice Joaquin, Keith Bell, Chester Cooper, and the list goes on. And so we decided more recently to revamp it and expand it. And so during the 2000s, late 2000s, the university would have done the 40 most outstanding alumni to celebrate our 40th anniversary, the then COB's 40th anniversary. And then more recently, the Alumni Association decided, the board decided to expand it to include class anniversary years. And so when we've now expanded it to not just one annually, but to 8 awardees annually, two being from the most recent class of 20, the 10-year anniversary, two from the 20th, two from the 30th, and two from the 40th. And so now each year we awarding 8 awardees annually.
Wonderful. Let me allow Naisha to chime in. Naisha, why was it important for you to be a part of this? You're an esteemed alum. You would have been the first Miss University of the Bahamas, so you have a deep connection. Why is it important for you to align yourself with the recognition of our alumni here at University of the Bahamas?
I think it's extremely important to give back, as Alvaro Thompson would have mentioned. You know, it's not only about giving back in finances, but also in your time and talents. And so just being able to contribute to the development of the University of the Bahamas and being able to be a part of something like this that honors other alum, I think it's really special and something to look forward to, right? Because we are kind of shaping the culture surrounding the University of the Bahamas, not just for alum, but students that are kind of watching as well and looking forward to being an alum and possibly looking forward to being inducted into the Hall of Fame someday. And so that kind of encourages them and pushes them to, you know, contribute not only to the university and the Bahamas, but be a global contributing citizen as well.
So before I go any further, Alvaro, I must ask this question because it's very important. And a lot of times people are uncertain as to UB/COB alum classification. So back in the day, COB was a two-year institution. And so a lot of people would have come through and they would have been transient students. They may have stayed to get their associates or they may have left and go abroad. What defines a COB or University of the Bahamas alum?
Yes, that's a very good question. And I'm very happy you mentioned that because a lot of persons, like you said, are unsure. But here at UB, we classify anyone that would have been with us for 2 consecutive semesters. They are classified as a UB alum.
So a lot of people have this misconception that you have to graduate from an institution in order to be an alum. That doesn't qualify in this instance. So as long as you would have attended for 2 consecutive semesters, you are considered a UB alum.
Yes, that's correct. Two or more consecutive semesters, because like you mentioned back in the day, and I remember I was, not to divulge my age, but I was in that category as well, having attended the then COB. And back then, like you mentioned, you were only able to get an associate's or sometimes a certificate. And so this classification covers all of those persons.
So with that in mind, then, if you could give a rough ballpark figure, how many alum does the institution have from its inception to now, based on that classification of 2 consecutive semesters or more?
Oh, okay. We estimate that we have well over 20,000 UB alums.
And what can we do? With that said, how are we reaching out or reconnecting with those persons who in the back of their minds would not have considered themselves alum, but in fact are? What are we doing in order to reconnect with those individuals, or how do we get those individuals to reconnect with us?
Yeah, so in partnership with the Alumni Association, the university, we have several vehicles for the more recent grads, the more recent UB grads. You know, they're on social media, and so we have an active presence as well as the Alumni Association on social media. That is very important. But like you would have mentioned, but for the older alums that are not too familiar with social media, you know, we have established a lot of affiliate alumni chapters, and these are like you mentioned, because of our history, our alums sometimes identify with their schools. And so we have, we're establishing these alumni affiliate chapters based on schools, School of Education, the School of Nursing, a nursing affiliate chapter, a psych affiliate chapter, as well as the older alums that would have went to the San Salvador Training College or the Hotel Tourism College. We have alums that are actively reaching out to some of their classmates and telling them to get involved with the university through these affiliate chapters.
That is awesome. And I know too that we actually have an international affiliate chapter in Atlanta. Let's talk about that. How did that come into existence?
Yes. I'm happy to share that. Yes, we established the university and the University's Alumni Association. We established our first international affiliate chapter in 2021. And so that came about just from a casual discussion with the Mr. Kirk Johnson, who is the elected president, just sharing with him. He was home for one summer, ran into him and shared some of the goals and visions of the university and the association. And he was immediately sold. And it took us, I think that was about 2019. So it took us 3 to 4 years actually to, with planning and discussions and going back and forth, to actually get it into action. And so that chapter is very active. And believe it or not, as a result of that, we have other persons, other Bahamians and other alums in Canada and New York contacting us, wanting to establish those other international chapters as well.
That is awesome. So question, is there a minimum amount of people for people that may be interested in may want to, you know, start an affiliate chapter, particularly those abroad, somebody that may have a connection? Is there a minimum number of members that's needed? Like, how do you get this process started if somebody is in fact interested?
Yeah, so we have established some guidelines based on international best practices for North American universities, but it's quite simple. All they need is a core group of five or more persons. Just a core group that are willing to meet, dedicated to the cause. And yeah, they can go from there.
Wonderful. So I'm hoping that the word gets out and we're able to increase the number of affiliate chapters that we have. Let's segue into this event that's coming up. I remember the first alumni, the first Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Awards event that I attended. It was at Bahamar. And it was a spectacular event. And since that, it has caught on. And then COVID happened and we had to pivot and readjust. And we ended up having one that was virtual. And I had the pleasure and privilege of hosting that event when it was in the virtual realm. And then we were able to come back in person. And so we've had quite an ebb and flow. We've had to be able to adapt and adjust. Why is it that What is it that alum look forward to most when they come to these award ceremonies? And what is the selection process and the thought process behind the selection of the nominees and the awardees? And I'd like for both of you to chime in, please.
Would you like to go first, Naisha?
I'll allow you to go first, seeing that you'd have more of an in-depth information about that process for the nominees.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, so the process is based on class anniversaries. And why we did it that way is because we want to establish a culture of tradition and excellence here at UB. And so the vision behind it is the alumni board at the time, we partnered and collaborated. And so UB is now moving to, instead of being a commuter campus, you know, we have plans to build more dormitories on campus. And of course, our former president, Dr. Rodney Smith, his vision and goal was for all first-year students to be able to establish to live on campus so that, you know, they can have more of a campus and a university feel. And so the idea is that moving forward, and as we build, continue to build and grow the university every year, each class and each cohort will come in and leave as a cohort. And so we are basing it on class anniversaries, and so based on 10-year intervals. And so every year, based on those 4, 10, 20, 30, 40-year anniversaries, we are selecting persons who would have contributed greatly to the nation and the university. And so the criteria basically is the awards recognizes alumni who have made significant contributions to their community or profession. And these persons would have done outstanding contributions, or they would have been involved in some type of leadership in the university, significant accomplishments in business or personal achievements. They would have also distinguished themselves with their community service or philanthropy, as well as receiving honors, including professional honors. And so those are some of the criteria that we use to nominate persons in those particular categories.
And as far as what alum can expect from the event, you know, I've also had the honor of being able to attend quite a few of the events. And so I've loved being able to be in the environment where alum are connecting with their classmates and other university officials. And, you know, you hear them saying that they're coming back to the place they once called home, and being recognized for them. You see that sense of pride and that mangoes pride, right? Even if they were the product of the College of the Bahamas, to see them now identify with this, the evolution and the transition of, you know, from COB to UB, it's a great thing. And so to have alum be a part of that and to have them anticipate this event and to come back to the place they call home, it's a really beautiful thing.
I'm sure it is. I concur with you 300% on that. Even though I'm not a COB or a UB alum, it evokes this sense of pride, and you cannot help but feel a sense of national pride even when you're in the company in the midst of these amazing individuals that have gone through COB and often attribute their success in their professional or personal realm to, like I said earlier, the foundation they would have received here at University of the Bahamas. This year, we have quite a number of esteemed alum that are going to be celebrated. I'm going to ask you, we're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, I guess we can get into that, to list those persons and to give some little, you know, background about these individuals that are going to be honored this year. We take our first break here on University Drive. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to University Drive. I'm your host, Nikki Bowen. If you're just joining us, my guests today are Mr. Alvardo Thompson, Director of Alumni Affairs, and Naisha Tillis, who is a committee member of the Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Awards Ceremony. We're getting ready to recognize and honor our outstanding alum, and we will have somebody being inducted into the Alumni Hall of Fame, as is typically done every year at our award ceremony. And before the break, we were talking about different aspects of alumni life here at University of the Bahamas. They mentioned what classifies a UB alum. If you've been to the university for two consecutive semesters or more, you are regarded as an alum. They spoke about their affiliate chapters that they've established, and realizing that it may have been more prudent and effective to do it by schools, because those persons typically have more classes together. So they develop relationships, and it's just a way to, you know, enhance on the camaraderie that has already been established. They spoke about the international chapter as well, that is the Atlanta chapter, and how they're encouraging people abroad to establish chapters. So now we're going to talk about the Alumni Awards Ceremony. And like Mr. Thompson said earlier too, and I'm recapping for those that may just be joining us. We do it in 10-year intervals. And so if you would have celebrated your 10th, 20th, or 30th anniversary as an alum, you are in that outstanding alum category. And for those in the 40th year, they are inducted into the Hall of Fame. Am I correct, Mr. Thompson?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so we have quite a number of folks in there, two individuals from each category that is recognized. Who are this year's awardees? Can you give us some insight into who we will be celebrating and honoring and inducting into the Hall of Fame this year?
The Office of Alumni Affairs at University of the Bahamas, in partnership with its Alumni Association, invite you to attend the annual Alumni Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Award Ceremony. Come and enjoy a night of elegance, nostalgia, and celebrations on Saturday, 25th of February, as the university honors alumni who are making a difference and contributing to the growth and development of the Bahamas, like Lisa Gibson Woodside, Philip Simon, Dr. Camille Smith, Aurelia Pinder, Ariana Roberts, Troy Clark, and Troy Strawn. That's University of the Bahamas Annual Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Award Ceremony, Saturday, 25th February at 7 p.m. at Crypto Isle on East Bay Street. You don't want to miss it.
I kept setting goals and not achieving them, and I'm also a life coach. So I help persons to overcome obstacles, achieve goals, and just become a better version of themselves. And I realized that I keep telling people the same things. Why not just put it in the book? You know, so my ideal audience is people who want to set goals, but finally stick to them.
Get your copy of The Secrets of Finally Sticking to Your New Year's Resolution by Nathan L. Sweeting at Chapter One Bookstore today.
The one big draw of doing a doctoral degree here is that you don't have to move and you don't have to take your family to a different place, and so you can do it right here. The same abilities that you would have in a UK or with America with being able to research is available here. And we now have all these facilities, and so they can take advantage of it at a much cheaper cost to the individual.
Apply to the University of the Bahamas today.
Yes, I'm happy to share that. We have an exciting list of awardees once again this year. And so the first category, which is the most recent one, 10 year, is the emerging leader category. And so happy to share the names of the two awardees this year is Miss Aurelia Pinder and Miss Ariana Joy Roberts. Both of them are Grand Bahamians and based in Grand Bahama. Miss Aurelia Pinder is a higher education professional. She's a community leader, and she's someone who's been very, very active in the Freeport Grand Bahama community for a number of years. She's also she also is employed at the University of the Bahamas, and she is also the Alumni Association's Grand Bahama Chapter President. And she would have been active in the GB chapter for a number of years and did such a phenomenal job helping to grow that chapter. And so we're really happy to have her, as well as Miss Ariana Joy Roberts. She is a film producer. She's a producer, she's an artist. Just can't say enough about her. She's such a talented young lady, and we're equally happy to have her. And so that's the emerging leader category. For the trailblazer category, we have Mr. Troy Clark and Troy Strawn, both two Troys. Troy Clark, as many Bahamians may know, he's very active and with the LEAD Institute, as you all know, that works with and helping to reform persons that have been incarcerated. And so he does a lot of work with persons that are incarcerated. He's also another community leader, very civic minded, and done a phenomenal job over the past few years with the LEAD Institute. And of course, Mr. Troy Strawn, who has continued his long affiliation with the Alumni Association and the university. Mr. Strawn is he's a business consultant. He's volunteered and worked with the university on a number of projects over the past few years, over the past few decades. Former Alumni Association president, current member. I can't say enough about him. He's done a phenomenal job with the university, and so we thank him. In the Outstanding Alumni Award category is Dr. Camille Smith, who is also an employee of the university in our counseling department, as well as Mr. Philip Simon. Dr. Smith, she I can't say enough about her as well. She would have volunteered with the Red Cross, I think, the Cancer Society, for a number of years. She's very active on a number of committees, a number of boards. Also with the university, she is very, very active in a lot of committees, helping to grow this university. She loves what she does. She loves working with students and young people. Mr. Philip Simon, who everyone will most likely know from the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce, he would have led the chamber for over a decade, and he would have done a phenomenal work at the chamber. He's a business person, a businessman, also a philanthropist. He also has a 30, 40-year history with JE Bahamas. He is still the current chair of JE Bahamas. I remember him from when I was in high school. He was involved with JE, continues to be involved with JE, mentoring a number of young people over the past few decades. So he's the second Outstanding Alumni Awardee. And then last but not least is our Hall of Fame inductee this year, Ms. Lisa Gibson Woodside, who is a lawyer and an accountant by profession. And she would have done a tremendous work in her financial field over the past few decades, worked with a number of professionals helping to lead the Bahamas Financial Services Board. I think she's now employed with the Mortgage Corporation as a finance director. We're so happy to have her. She would have, over the past few decades, done a phenomenal work inside the country, inside the community. And so we're happy to have her being inducted in this year's, as this year's Hall of Fame inductee.
Thank you so much. I see Grand Bahama is well represented, and it's yes. good to know
yes.
that our sister campus at UB North is actively involved. Why is it important for us to continue to keep that connection? And I have a question as it relates to the Grand Bahama. Is that a chapter? Like, how does that work? Because you spoke about affiliate chapters, but with Grand Bahama, with UB North being a part of us, how does that particular alumni association work?
Yes. So they are a full chapter, and they're actually our second chapter, local chapter, our first local chapter, sorry. And based in Grand Bahama, they've been around for over a decade. And Ms. Pinda would have done so much work in helping to sustain that chapter. And so that chapter is, of course, affiliated with our UB North campus. And so their focus is, of course, Grand Bahama and everything to do with Freeport and Grand Bahama. And so we're happy that we have that chapter there where Grand Bahamians, graduates of our UB North campus, after they have graduated, they have something to continue to look forward to.
Wonderful. It's good because I know even last year there were quite a number of awardees from Grand Bahama, and it means that they are actively involved. And I'm sure it's heartwarming for them to know that Nassau is not dominating the award ceremony and everything isn't Nassau-centric.
Yes, that's correct. And I think every year we've had awardees from Grand Bahama, they're always represented.
Naisha, I'm going to bring you in on this. Tell us, how did you get involved in the Alumni Awards Committee and this whole initiative?
So I initially started working at the University of the Bahamas as their events coordinator. And so I guess that's kind of how it all started. But I was also roped in to the Alumni Association. So I sit on the board of the Alumni Association as well. And so because the Alumni Association is a collaborator of the event, that's another means to be a part of this. But just my love for the University of the Bahamas also. I've been involved as a student, now a employee, but also a board member of the Alumni Association. So sitting on this committee was a no-brainer just to continue the work of the University of the Bahamas.
Naisha, would you say that the association's membership is at the level that it should be? Are you guys seeing the level of involvement that you ideally desire? That's my question, I guess.
There is always room for improvement. We're calling all alumni to, you know, get involved in one way or another. One of the things we've been really pushing and trying to do is get more connected to the students on campus as well, for student outreach, as well as various membership drives, whether we're hosting an event or collaborating on an event. Persons are able to, you know, get involved. We have an Alumni Association WhatsApp group where persons are able to kind of stay updated on what the Alumni Association is doing, as well as what's happening at the University of the Bahamas and how they can get involved or support, whether it's through athletics or through events or just the university as a whole, right? And so it's not where, you know, we would like it to be, and there's always room for improvement. But we're trying our best so that we are able to connect with our alum where they are, and so that they understand that, you know, just because you may not be able to give financially doesn't mean you can't contribute in any other way.
You know, you made a very important point, and I'm sure some people will be like, well, why are you connecting with existing students? Because alumni, you know, really refers to people that have left the institution or graduated from the institution, but you referenced current students. Why is it important to connect with them now as it relates to alumni affairs? And I guess both of you can chime in on that.
Well, being a part of student affairs, there's my love for students generally, but, you know, the overall student experience now kind of speaks to how engaged they will become as alum. And so for me, just being able to kind of loop them in now about what the Alumni Association and Alumni Affairs are doing as current students will kind of embed that in them. So when they graduate, they are already, you know, abreast of what's happening and how they can contribute as alum when they graduate from the University of the Bahamas.
Yes, and Naisha is so correct. The trend is to engage students as soon as they enter universities, and to continue to engage them throughout their college university experience. That's the trend now. And so what we found is that the more you engage them after they graduate, the more involved they become.
I can attest to that, because I think it's critically important that we wow them while they're here and create that school spirit, create the love for the institution, that pride, so that they are eager to become active and engaged alumni. When we think of UB alum, what are some of the words that come to mind? How would you classify and describe UB alum, both of you, if you had to think of words off of the top that encapsulates the characteristics of a UB alum?
I'd start off by saying bold. I feel like there are instances where, you know, we're able to kind of pick up that sense of authority and the space that they take up in various sectors that they're from, either, you know, COB or UB. They're boldly taking up space. And so I think there's a certain boldness that comes with being a UB alum.
Yes, and I would also say someone who's very resilient and innovative. And why I say that is because I remember attending the then COB, there was this, you know, we always used to say that if you can make it through COB, you can make it anywhere. And so that's to this day, I think that still holds true, that our students and our alums, they are able to make it anywhere they go in the world, whether it's locally or internationally. And despite their challenges, I think they're able to still thrive and succeed. And so I'd say very, very resilient as well, and innovative.
Resilient and innovative and bold. Those are some powerful words. What do you find is the average sentiment of alumni when they get that call to say, hey, you've been selected? And are they even aware in instances that they've actually been nominated, or sometimes does it come as a surprise? What is the general sentiment when you make that connection to inform persons that they are actually being awarded?
Oh, wow. That's a very good question. I would say they are always, always surprised and, of course, very, very humbled. And why I said it is because of the rich tradition that we have here at UB of graduating excellent students. Like I said, our students, our alumni, they know that once they graduate from this institution, they are well prepared for their journey throughout life. And so they are always very surprised and humbled because they know that they would have gone up against so many other equally outstanding alumni. And so they're always humbled and honored to receive that call from the office that they've been nominated and chosen to receive those particular awards.
I want to ask another question as it relates to that. How tedious is that selection process? Because I know there's a call for nomination and people have to nominate them. And then I'm sure there's a committee that actually has to narrow that down. Give us a little bit of insight into how that whole process works. And I'm sure the back and forth, people advocating for this one over the other. I could feel the intensity and some probably tense moments as people state their case. Well, why should this one get it over this? Because I'm sure all of the nominations that you get are stellar people. Like, they're people that meet the criteria, obviously. So what is that process like?
Okay, I can take this one first. Yes, it's very, very interesting that you mentioned that, because I remember over the past few years, sometimes and some pre-pandemic, before the pandemic, when we would have in-person board meetings, sometimes we went very late into the evening, very late into the night, the board going back and forth. And I would say that the decision to choose the awardees is always held within the Alumni Association Executive Board. That's who makes the decisions. And so some years I remember, yeah, we've gone back and forth, heated discussions, because it was just so challenging trying to figure out and to choose who would be chosen based on the list of nominees. And so, yeah, sometimes it's extremely hard. You know, during the pandemic, it was, I would say, equally as challenging, because, of course, we weren't physically in there and we had to do everything via Zoom. So, yeah, it's been a challenge because we've just had so many outstanding nominees and persons that are so qualified. And so that was actually one of the reasons why the past boards decided to expand to include a lot more categories, because we had such outstanding nominees.
Naisha, is there anything you want to add to that?
Sure, but even in it being challenging, I think the Alumni Association and Alumni Affairs, the foundation that they would have set in being able to provide a rubric, also eliminates any bias. So we're able to go through, you know, the criteria and kind of put a figure to whether or not that individual is doing what it is that we're looking for them to do in the community, as well as at the University of the Bahamas, to determine whether or not they should be the one awarded this award. And although it may get heated in some instances, we find that there are times where we personally may know something about an individual, or if that person is being nominated by another individual that they may not have added, but being able to kind of have that dialogue about the work that that alum is doing in the community.
So Naisha, continue what you were saying, please. You were talking about, we had a little interruption. You were saying, you know, people actually know, and so there's that whole back and forth.
Yeah, so you find that there are times a person is nominated and there may be some vital information missing, and you'd find persons that are part of the Alumni Association or of that committee or body going through the rubric and the nominations, they may know more about that individual. And so just being able to have that dialogue and still determine based on the rubric whether or not that individual is qualified for the award. It makes for a healthy discussion, but it is easy to do when you have a foundation and structure that's already in place by the Alumni Association and Alumni Affairs.
So I'm being devil's advocate here. Somebody knowing somebody on the committee, knowing a committee member knowing. So like I was saying, that could work for and against a nominee, because you may know somebody personally, you may know some stuff about them. You'd be like, well, we may not really want this person representing us, because what y'all don't know is this XYZ may have happened or that kind of thing. So I guess it does have its pros and cons, but you also want to make sure, and I guess what I'm getting at is, how do you ensure the credibility and that the people that are being awarded, that they are reputable, and then that, you know, there's nothing out there? Like, how do you do your due diligence to ensure that the people that we are awarding are deserving of this award? It's not going to raise any eyebrows in the society. People are going to be like, well, they know what this person doing, or this person did X, Y, and Z that could possibly tarnish the reputation even of our alumni association and our award ceremony.
So I think it's important to note that each award category has a criteria, right? And so even when it comes to, I guess, knowing what someone has done, it's important to draw the line as it relates to what the award is looking for, or who the award is looking for, and whether or not that individual meets that requirement. I know for our, you know, discussions, we go as far as also doing some research on that individual and kind of verifying and fact checking. Hence why the process is a bit tedious, but well worth it in trying to determine who is deserving of this award. And I think, you know, the Alumni Affairs and Alumni Association does a pretty great job at ensuring that they go through this process with a fine tooth comb, and ensuring that, you know, they, you know, take a break if necessary, come back at it, and ensure that the persons that are awarded are those that are going to continue the legacy of not just the alumni awards, but the University of the Bahamas.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I think that's good information and something for people to keep in mind. As we move forward, for both of you, what are some of the plans and goals and expectations that you have for Alumni Affairs and the Alumni Association in terms of growing your numbers, increasing the number of chapters and all of that stuff? What are the plans in the pipeline to, for alumni here at University of the Bahamas?
So I know definitely for the Alumni Association, we are looking forward to working a whole lot more closely with Alumni Affairs and being able to facilitate more programming, more intentional programming and events to engage alum and get them back on campus more often. We've been facilitating a lunch and listen, which has been phenomenal, where, you know, persons are able to come by on their lunch break on the third Friday of each month. Hopefully we can get that started back up next month. And just kind of connect and hear from alum and persons, and kind of learn some skills and techniques and tips and tricks from various sectors. So that's been exciting. But for us, we want to be able to connect with alum back home. And so whether that is community service initiatives, whether that is connecting with students on campus, whether that's homecoming, just being able to re-engage them in a whole new way, and have them come back on campus and contribute to the University of the Bahamas is something that we're working toward.
Yes, and just to piggyback off what Naisha said, the goal also is to increase membership. I know we have plans to launch our membership program where our alumni would be able to access benefits. Discounts from a lot of local businesses, such as, you know, insurance and companies and stuff that, where once they present an alumni card, they'll be able to get discounts. You know, it's very important to continue to grow our membership and our alumni networks, because as our students graduate, their degrees will become more valuable, as strong as the association and the alumni network grows as well. You know, when you look at a lot of North American universities, their alumni networks are so strong. And so there's a lot of things that students can look forward to after graduation, you know, the number one being is employment. But so the strength of any degree, we always say the strength of any degree or university is contingent upon the strength of their alumni network. So as we continue to grow these alumni chapters locally and internationally, you know, students can, alumni can look forward to that, as well as the business networks that we'll be establishing locally and internationally.
Awesome, that is so wonderful. Naisha, I have a question. What are some of the strategies? Because I know 40 years, being out of school 40 years versus being out of school for 10 years is a kind of a big gap. What are the strategies to make sure that there's representation for everyone and something for everyone on the gamut of the years of being an alum can relate to and connect with, so that it's all inclusive and people don't feel like, well, the Alumni Association is geared more towards millennials versus the, you know, Gen Xers or Gen. So how are you working collaboratively to make sure that it's all inclusive, given the number of years of the institution and its span of alum?
Our number one strategy is really getting them involved in that process. The reason for trying to increase our numbers and getting more alum involved, and kind of hearing from them about, you know, what it is that you want to see, and being able to create various events, platforms, or programs to be able to meet the various needs, right? Because we do understand that the interests of our alum are literally on this spectrum, and we need to be able to meet each and every one of them where they are. And so that requires us to be able to have them at the table, to be able to kind of offer that information to us. Although our focus has been social media, it does reach a specific demographic, but we are working toward various methods and mediums to be able to reach our alum that we aren't able to reach on social media as well.
Mr. Thompson, anything you'd like to chime in on that?
Yes. And just to piggyback of what Naisha said, that's the beauty of the Alumni Association and our alumni networks. It's so diverse and so broad. You know, even on our Alumni Association Executive Board, we have Ms. Wendy Poynter Albury and Ms. Teresa McPhee, you know, who would have graduated, I think, during the 80s and 70s. And so, and then of course we have much younger persons who would have graduated most just recently or over a decade ago. And so I think that's the beauty of the alumni networks, is that it straddles so many decades, and it's attractive to so many persons, and we continue to learn from each other. You know, I've enjoyed having and learning from Ms. Wendy Poynter Albury, Ms. McPhee, who just came on our board recently, beginning to learn from her. And so, yeah, it's been such a joy. And I've also enjoyed working with some of our younger alums. And so they look at me as I guess a bit older. And so it's a wonderful thing for all these different decades of alums to come together and for us to work towards one common cause, which of course is the university. So that's the beauty about alumni networks.
Thank you so much for that. So let's talk about the event. Give us details about the event, how people can attend, purchase tickets, support persons that are being awarded. Now that we've released the list, how can people support this event?
All right. So the event will be taking place on the 25th of February at 7 p.m. Crypto Isle. Tickets are available at Chapter One Bookstore, but tickets will also be available at the door as well. We were really, really, really excited. We have alums hosting the event, Travin Cargill and Sloan Smith. We already talked about the the various awards that we're presenting, from the Emerging Leaders Award, Trailblazer Award, the Outstanding Alumni Award, and induction into the Hall of Fame. And it's really, really, really exciting. We have special performances by local artists. And we're just really excited for a great show and to give the alum that will be there with us on the 25th of February a great time as they connect with other university officials and their colleagues as well.
So when you mentioned the venue, you said Crypto Isle. And if I may, I just want to point out that that is the old, the former Luciano's of Chicago.
Correct.
A lot of people be like, who? What?
Where's Crypto Isle?
Where is Crypto Isle? So I just wanted to put that in there. And what can we look forward to that evening? What, like, for people that have never been to an alumni awards ceremony, what are some of the highlights of the evening that they can look forward to?
Well, aside from recognizing and celebrating, you know, the development of the University of the Bahamas, because when you're there, you're looking at how far the University of the Bahamas has come as well, just by the persons that are being awarded. But you have food, you have great music, just an amazing ambiance. And it's going to be an amazing evening, a great production that's lined up for our guests. And I talked about the food already. You can tell that I'm a food person, right? But as I mentioned, amazing food, vibes, drinks. And so for us, it's just an evening where we are able to celebrate those being awarded. And as mentioned, the development of the University of the Bahamas thus far.
So as we get ready to end this show, I'd like each of you to kind of put a plug out there, if for lack of a better word, to encourage UB alum to reconnect and tell them, how can they reconnect with their alma mater? How can they get involved, whether it be financially or with their time and their talent? How can we reconnect with our alum that are out there and listening to this show? Or better yet, how can they reconnect with us? How can they reach out to us and connect with us?
Okay, I would love to take a stab at this. For me, you know, I think it's important to connect generally, right? We're being able to build our network, and what better place to do that than the place you, as mentioned, once called home, the University of the Bahamas. And so they're able to connect with the Alumni Association just to find out how they can give back, or how, you know, if they need assistance, how the university can assist them in some way, shape, or form, or the Alumni Association can assist them in some shape or form. We do our best to support alum, and 80 to 90% of the events that we are hosting. And so we try to support our small businesses, alums that have small businesses. And so a part of that, in order for us to do that, it means that you have to be a part of that network. We need to know that that's what you're doing, right? We want to hear the stories of what it is that our alum are doing out there in the world. And they're doing some pretty big things. And we want to celebrate that. And we want to celebrate you. And a part of doing that is us knowing. And as mentioned, the only way we can know is if you let us know. And you can do that by following us on social media, tagging the Alumni Association or Alumni Affairs or the University of the Bahamas on social media. Let us know what it is that you're doing. Let us know that you're a product of the University of the Bahamas. There is an Alumni Association WhatsApp group. I did talk about that a little bit. And if anyone is interested in joining the Alumni Association WhatsApp group, they can send a message to 427-8978, and I can get you connected into the Alumni Association WhatsApp group so that you can get updates on what's happening and how you can get involved with the Alumni Association and be a part of the Alumni Association as well. And I just think it's really important for us to be able to be the change we want to see. The university has gotten as far as it has gotten because of the people that are here and contributing to that change. And for us to continue to grow and develop, it requires all of us to come together and continue to contribute to that development. And so I look forward to the messages that I will hopefully be getting from all of you listening that are alum and would like to join the Alumni Association or the Alumni Association group, just to stay updated. And the number, once again, is 427-8978.
Yes, and persons can also contact myself. They can also contact me directly here at the University of the Bahamas. The number is 302-4303. That's my direct line here at the University of the Bahamas. Or they can send me an email at my first name, Elvardo, E-L-V-A-R-D-O, .Thompson@ub.edu.bs. I'd love to hear from you and love to continue the dialogue and for you to get familiarized with all the opportunities available here at UB and along with the Alumni Association. You know, just before we go, I'd just like to mention as well that now that we are back to face-to-face, persons can also look forward to a number of in-person events that the Alumni Association will be hosting. I know during the summers, we always host a summer mix and mingle, as well as one in the fall. So persons can always look forward to those events and come out and socialize and get to meet everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. And I got to put this plug out there for the Alumni Association. They'd be like, well, we don't hear from the from the alumni office, or we don't get anything. Like, you got to remember, in some instances, your contact information changed. You was living with your parents. You don't live there no more. Their phone number then changed. They then gone from BTC to Alive, and numbers change. And so it's not that we're not trying to connect with you, or we don't want to. It means that we just may need some updated contact information. And so we'd like to appeal to everybody. If you haven't heard from us, it's not that we're not trying to connect with you. It's because the information that we may have on file may now be outdated, and we need you to help us in updating that information. Am I right, Elvardo?
Yes, that is so correct. Yes. And, you know, persons would have switched from using their old COB email or UB email to their personal email. So you're right. So please contact us and send us your most updated information, and we'll be happy to start sending you emails and correspondence.
Thank you so much. And I just want to tell people, listen, if you're not connected to us, you're missing a good thing. And it's too good for us to keep you disconnected. So please reach out to either Naisha or Elvardo. We share highlights through the Alumni Spotlight every month. There are lots of activities and events that happen, take place, that are designed specifically for our alum. And we want you to connect with us. And so feel free to connect with us. We will welcome you doing so. And we look forward to all of you attending the Hall of Fame and Outstanding Alumni Award ceremony on Saturday. Listen to me talking about Friday. On Saturday, the 25th of February at Crypto Isle, which is the former Luciano's of Chicago. And you can purchase tickets from any of the awardees. You can purchase tickets from Chapter One Bookstore. And you can also show up at the event dressed, looking elegant and beautiful, and purchase a ticket at the door. Elvardo and Naisha, thank you so much for joining me on this week's episode of University Drive.
You're welcome. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having me.
And you know, they say if you could make it in COB or UB, you can make it anywhere. And what we do is we produce leaders for life. We are proud of the legacy of alumni that this institution has produced, and they are driving innovation and leadership in private and public sector. They're contributing to the national development of our country. They are leaders in mega firms and corporations in the United States and around the world. And we are proud of this rich heritage and legacy. And we boast and we brag of having the absolute best alum in the country. Thank you so much, and not just the country, the world. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of University Drive. Be sure to connect with us on our website at www.ub.edu.bs. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. And of course, join us next week, same time, same radio station, for another exciting edition of University Drive. I'm your host, Nikki Bowe. Enjoy the remainder of your day.
University Drive is a production of the Office of University Relations and the Communications and Creative Arts Academic Unit at University of the Bahamas. All rights reserved.